Hey, everybody. Sorry for the delay, technical difficulties. Parshat Shoftim. So number one on the sheet is a Hasidic insight from the Shem Yishmuel. And we're going to see a very big douche in terms of defining a particular concept. But let's get into it a little bit. In the Parsha, near the end of the Parsha, we have the chapter of the Kohen Mashuach Milchama. The Kohen who is the chaplain of Tzal, of the Jewish army. And before they go to battle, he comes out and exhorts the soldiers.
Is that working? Excuse me.
We're fine. No, this microphone, we don't need this microphone. Can you hear me?
No.
Would you like to sit up front?
Huh?
Would you like to sit up front?
Sit up, no, I'm all right.
Okay. So the V'amar Alehem Shema Yisrael. And this is a pasuk in the Torah that he says to the soldiers, Shema Yisrael, Atem Krevim Hayom LaMilchama Alayvechem. You are coming close to go to war against your enemies. So Shema Yisrael, what is important here is that he uses the word Shema Yisrael. And the rabbis will pick up on this. Pirush Rashi. Rashi explains, Afilu ein bechem zechut el kriyat Shema. Even if the only merit you have, thank you, Mira. Even if the only merit that you have is the mitzvah of kriyat Shema, Kedai atem shiyoshia etchem. Then you are deserving of God's salvation. That's the utility of the Torah using the words, and he begins with the word Shema Yisrael. He's telling the soldiers that if you use, even if you do only the mitzvah Shema Yisrael, that's all you have, right? You'll be saved in battle. It will fare you well. Now, Dine Yesh Lavin. So he's now going to go off a little bit to explain something about Shema Yisrael. Shema Yisrael, the mitzvah of Shema Yisrael, is by saying Shema, we are accepting Yichud Hashem, the oneness of God, and the classic term for that is Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shemayim, the acceptance of the yoke of the kingdom of heaven. So he's asking a question. Madu nikra kriyat shma ol malchut shamayim. Why is it called a burden, a yoke? Halo hi dvekut ve'ahava. It's love and attachment to God. We're explaining that we have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why is that a yoke? Why is that a burden? Ve'en lecha ta'anu gadol mizeh. There's nothing more joyous and more fulfilling than the fact that we have an intimate relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So why is it called? Oh, we accept the yoke of God's kingdom, right? V'lama nikrei ol, why is it called an ol? So he has a particular approach, which I say is quite a nuance. So let's hear what he says. Ach yesh lomar, decheni ha-mitzvah. Here's how the mitzvah goes. Shelo yaseh ba'avur she'ava v'tanu. Listen, we're not supposed to do mitzvahs because we love them. We love the mitzvahs. We have a joy from doing the mitzvahs. I enjoy doing the mitzvah. That's not the principal reason why we do a mitzvah. Rak mitzad hatzivui v'ha'ol. We do a mitzvah because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's the Ratzon Hashem. It's God's desire that we do the mitzvah. In fact, this impacts on another very important statement. We say, Godol ha-mitzvah v'osa mina eno mitzvah v'osa. A person who does a mitzvah that's commanded to do a mitzvah is on a higher level than someone who is not commanded and does the mitzvah. Now that flies in the face of contemporary political correctness. We live in an age of volunteerism, right? I want to do it. Why should the person who volunteers to do something be considered on a higher madrega than the person who's obligated to do the mitzvah? Right? I should get 3 extra stars on the refrigerator if I do something that I wasn't asked to do, right? Why does the guy who's asked to do it get more schar? So the reason is, what's the definition of a mitzvah? How do we define the word mitzvah? The word mitzvah is Ratzon Hashem. It's the will of God. It's God's will that I do this, and not that this particular person has to do this. So God's will is that I have to do this. That's Ratzon Hashem. The volunteer who wants to do it anyway, very nice, he gets schar, but he wasn't asked to do it. It wasn't really his obligation to do it. So he gets schar, but he doesn't get the same schar as the one who's obliged to do it. So in essence, the essential reason why we do a mitzvah is because it's a mitzvah. Tam mitzvah, mitzvah. The real reason for a mitzvah is that it's a mitzvah, we're commanded to do it. V'zeh sh'amru, and the rabbis say in Pirkei Avot, batel ritzon chamitne ritzono. Do his thing, make his thing your thing. Batel ritzoncha mitne ritzono. That make your thing his thing. Right? Complete bitul, complete submission to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Haynu she bidvar mitzvah, when one does a mitzvah, shegam ritzoncha mishtokek lezeh tibatel ritzoncha haynu ishtokakut shelcha v'tase rak mipnei shehi ritzono yitbarach v'zui madrei v'dol. This is a great level of achievement in avodat Hashem and serving God. That we completely nullify our own personal desire and we do it for God's sake. I do it for God's sake. That's the purity of a mitzvah. So it's not really that I do it because I love God. We'll see afterwards in other interpretations, but that's the approach he's taking, right? Now listen well. V'hine, Katav HaRebbe Milublin, said the Tzadik Livracha. The Rebbe Milublin wrote, Shekishyesh la'adam ezet tzar, Rechman Lutzman. A person is going through a tragedy. He's suffering. Ubo li'itpalel. Somebody is sick, whatever the situation. And he comes, li'itpalel lifnei Hashem yitbarach. Yashlich mineged et hatzar shelo, v'yitpalel rak ba'avur kaviyoch. Set aside your own personal prayer, your own selfish needs, and pray for God's pain. In other words, if someone is sick, you're in pain for that person. The person who's sick is in pain. But I'll tell you, you know something? HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is in pain. So set aside your pain and daven for God. What does he mean? Ka'amram Zal, as the rabbis say, it's in Gemara in Sanhedrin, which the Lomdei Daf Hayomi are learning these days, B'sha'a sh'adam mitzta'er, when a person is in pain, Shechina ma lashon omer, what does God say? Kaloni b'roshi, my head is heavy. God is in pain. If somebody is in pain, Kodesh Baruch Hu too is in pain. Ki be'im humi palel l'Hashem yitbarach l'asir et tzaro. So let me daven to remove God's pain. I heal this person in order that, for God's sake. You know what he's saying? Because if I daven for myself, well, please help this person. I'm coming to you with my zchuyot, with my merit. Please, God, listen to me. Right? Heal this person. Kamim mekatzpim omdim kenegdo. Wait a minute. If I'm putting myself on trial, sir. I'm asking God to listen to me. So God's listening. Well, let me see. Who's this fellow who's coming to me? Let me look at his balance sheet. Right? He's got some good misses that he's done, but maybe on the other side of his balance sheet, not so good. So, you know, my slate is not clean. There's only one person, Kaviyochel, who has a clean slate. And that's God. Aval imumi palel hasir et tzara shechina, I daven to God, God, remove your pain. Right? Hamitztarot b'tzarot, that God is in pain. Az nistam pia mekatrigim. There's negative forces in heaven cannot attack this court case, this request. Because God has no negatives on his balance sheet, right? So he will surely listen to a prayer which is calling on him to do it for himself. There's no one can have a tie to the forces of evil. The sitra achra, the negative forces, cannot challenge God. So that's what's going on here when Jews go out to war. Shenema. The Meshuv Milchama says, because the Navi says actually, Ki Milchamot Hashem, Hashem Milcham. God is battling together with Tzar, together with the Jewish army. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on the battlefield. Ve'en Yisrael Mashgichim Al Tzaram Tiferet מפת הצער הצורר אותם, רק כביכול על צער השכינה. ואין המלחמה בעבורנו, רק בעבורו יתורה כבוד שמו. We're fighting God's war. Jewish soldiers are fighting God's war. That's what we're fighting for. Rahman al-Islam, we have to fight. So God is on the battlefield with us, right? V'al yidei zeh nistam tiyem ekadrim. So let me pray. Shema Yisrael. That's what the Meshuach Melchama starts on. Shema Yisrael. Right? V'zehu koach Yisrael u'madrigatam b'kriyat Shema. This is the power of the tefillah of Kriyat Shema. Ha-mevatlim tzarcheihem. We completely nullify our own desires, v'ritzonam, and our desires, mipnei tzorech gavoa v'ratzon gavoa, for God's sake. Now this is a completely new take on the phrase, kabbalat ol malchut shamayim. That saying Shema is, we normally understand it, is accepting the yoke of the kingdom of heaven upon us. But no, he is explaining this, a very deep theological concept that he's putting forth. Kabbalat ol, we accept the heavy burden that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has. Accept upon yourself the burden that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is carrying, his pain, and daven to him to remove his pain, and you'll be successful in your prayer. Magnificent idea, right? We're going to see a little bit of a different approach in a minute, not inside. But we're nullifying ourselves, and then he says, P.S. We normally lay in Shoftim, now we're now entering, we're in Chodesh Elul. We're preparing for Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. V'yirali, it would appear to me, seem to me, Shezeh Inyan Chodesh Elul Kodem Tishrei. This is the whole idea of Elul, which comes as a precursor to Tishrei. She'elul, whom Miloshen, you know, there are many Rosh Tevot for Elul, Anila Dodi, Dodi Li. There are actually, if you look in the Sefer HaKadmoni, there are about 20 Rosh Tevot for Elul, which is fascinating because there's no other concept in Yiddishkeit, in Yadut, where you have so many Rosh Tevot, so many allusions. It's almost as if God is pushing us, you know, see the illusion, see the relationship. You know, Elul is not about tshuva. El is not about tshuva, if you want to get down to it. El is about Anila Dodi V'Dodi Li. It's about knowing that Hashem cares for us, and we have to care for that He's there. He's there for us. He loves us. It's about creating a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a preparatory act to do tshuva, to know that He loves me, and He wants me to do good, and He wants me to return the love, and to come to Him, and to open up and begin that relationship, restart that relationship again, and then tshuva comes naturally. But El was about that relationship, reminding us that He's there and He cares for us. So he wants to say Shalul. He brings another from Iyov. There's a pasuk in Iyov. He doesn't give the whole pasuk. The whole pasuk is Refuah Elil Kulchem. Elul Elil. Elil means Rofe Elil. The pasuk says you are doctors of deceit. Doctors of no substance, right? But he's putting a good, a positive spin on that. Become doctors of no substance. It's not about me, God. It's about you, right? Kabbalat ol malchut shemayim. Accept God's ol, not yours. Put your nullify yourself to God. Haynu sheyikavazot b'machshavotenu sheyivatel kol inyano v'ratzono. Just completely wipe out, dismiss, nullify your desire, rak l'tzorach kavod. Only be concerned for what God wants. V'yasa atzmo, and make yourself kidelo l'man kishyagir Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim. So when Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur comes, kol tefilot tav, all of our tefilot, yu l'man Hashem yivorach kol, should be for God's sake. Daven for God's sake, right? Kimo sh'anu omrim, listen to this. We write, v'kotveinu b'sefer hachayim, write us in the Sefer Chayim, Limancha Elohim Chayim. Do you ever think about that? For your sake, God. Katvenu b'sefer Chayim Limancha, for your sake, Elohim Chayim. That's the whole essence of that one line in the Shmona Esrei that we add during Aseret Yemei Teshuvah. Haynu she'anu mevakshim Chayim Leman Hashem Yitbarach. Give us life for you, God. Don't give me life because of me. Give me life for you. For you, so I can fulfill your desire in this world. שכשיהיו לנו חיים, נוכל לעבדו. When we have חיים, we can serve you. ויתגדל כבוד שמו, and your name will become great in the world. ובזה ייזכר פי המקטרגים, אמן. A magnificent idea, right? A very challenging idea. But let me offer, there's another side to this point. We say that we should do mitzvahs not because we enjoy doing the mitzvahs, but that to a certain extent, there's another side to this coin. This is an ideal situation, but there is another side. You know, we talked a few weeks ago about the word im, im kesef talva. The Torah uses the word im when it really should say ka'asher, when you give money to a poor person. But the Torah uses the word im, if you give money to a poor person, right? Why does the Torah use if you give money to a poor person, when the Torah really means when you give money to a poor person, right? So the Maral there explains, some of you were here for that shir, that it's a very important usage that the Torah is telling Ka'a. When you give is im, because you should give not because you have to give, but because you want to give. Right? It's another side to this, right? Im kesef talav. Of course I have to give. I have a mitzvah to give tzedakah. I have a mitzvah to do shabbos. I have a mitzvah to do whatever I have a mitzvah to do. And I have to do it because I have to do it. But you should also do it, included in that mindset of the person who does it because he has to do it for God's sake, is that I do it because I want to do it. It has to be voluntary. Im, it's a voluntary sense, right? We also pointed out then, I'll just say it quickly, that the word im, you know, we have in Hebrew shorashim. That normally we speak of words in Hebrew have three letters. Normal shorashim, the root of the word is three letters. But there's such a thing as a two-letter root. Rav Shamsha Rafo Hirsch discusses this a lot in his commentary. Rashi brings a number of places in Chumash that there's two letters of a root of a word. So you have the word im, right? Now the challenge when you have a root of a word is that if two words share the same root, let's say the word shira, song, and yashar, to be straight, to be upright, to be honest. Those there has to be a commonality of what is a song have to do with being upright. So we have to find a common, there has to be a common thread there. So the common thread is that Shira for us is singing, you know, to the Ribbono Shel Olam, singing about truths, right? Singing out praises of God. So that what about the word im? Let's take the word im. If, right? So that's a root. It's a two-letter root. What's another two-letter word, im? Ein. What's ein? Mother. Mother, so what's the commonality between mother and if? So, it's a double question. Every mother here knows what, everybody should know, that the essence of a mother is that a mother does what she does for her children, not because she has to do it, because she wants to do it, not because it's an obligation. That is the essence, the essential definition of a mother, of an aim is an im. An aim is an im. She's an if personality, right? So that's the other side of this, right? I would also add, I want to add something else. Today's Rav Kook's Yahrzeit. When I came in, somebody asked me upstairs, are you saying anything about Rav Kook? It's his Yahrzeit today. I said, I wasn't planning to, but we'll see. But you know, Siyat Deshmaya, I want to share something with you from Rav Kook on the Kohen Meshuach Milchama. He said a fantastic thing. And I might have said this in the past years, but it's your time, Skuso Yagi Aleinu, Shreva Liat Neshama, but he said like this. The Gemara says, there's no Mesorah from Me'av Lebno, from father to son, of the Kohen Meshuach Milchama. The Kohen in charge of the army, other Kohanim, it can be passed down from father to son. Kohen Godel can be given to his son. Another Misra in Kahuna can be given from father to son. The Kohen of the army, the chief chaplain of the army, according to the Torah, is not hereditary to the son. Why not? Every other Misra, every other office in Kahuna is passed on. So why is this not passed on? It's a tremendous, tremendous for, we have to understand it for. Because we have no Mesorah. The Jewish people, as Rav Kook told us, Jewish people have no Mesorah, no tradition of an army. The fact that we have an army, and Baruch Hashem, we have a good army that protects us, and they should be protected, and continue, is the prayer of Am Yisrael. Essentially, is that we should the day should come that we no longer need the army, we no longer have the army, that there will be no war. That is the Mesorah of Klal Yisrael. An army is a necessary, temporary reality, and therefore, how do we know that? Because the position of Mashiach Milchama is not a retort. It's not a retort because we hope that the next generation will not have Mashiach. They'll all retire. Everybody will retire, and everybody will go to yeshiva. Right? We'll go to work. But there'll be no army anymore. That's the Mesorah of Am Yisrael, Klal Yisrael. That's a very important idea. Okay, let's go on to the next piece. This is also about Shema Yisrael. This is from Rav Schwab. V'amar alein Shema Yisrael. He quotes the same passage. This is what he says to them. Atem krevim hayom milchama al evet, and you're going to war against your enemies. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And the rabbis point out that the enemy does all kinds of things. They bang their shields. They make the horses stomp. They yell and scream, all to instill fear into us. Don't be fearful. So he writes, Barashi Shema Yisrael, but he's going to again focus on the Shema Yisrael aspect from a different angle. Uberashi Shema Yisrael, afilu ein bechem zchut el kriyat shema. Even if you only have the merit of saying kriyat shema, bilvad, kedai etem sheyoshiyetchem. God will save you. Now we saw the Sheikh Mishul had a whole approach to this. This was a deep theological concept because Shema Yisrael means you're giving the prayer of all prayers. You're praying for God's sake, and that's going to save you. He's going to ask a question. He's going to go in a different direction. V'hu member de Rabbi Yochanan b'shem Rav Shimon bar Yochai b'mesed esof. This is from the Talmud. V'kasha, I have a question on this. Shari l'hal sham, the Gemara continues there, the Talmud continues. Tanan Rabbi Yossi Aguli Omer, one of the rabbis teach, Rabbi Yossi Aguli teaches, Hayarei v'rach alevav, a person who is afraid. Zeo amit yarem yaveirot shabiyah. If someone is afraid, should go home. Should go home. Now, who is this person? Now, in the end, we don't paskin like this particular position of Rabbi Yosef, but this is a position in the Talmud. Hayarei v'rach alevav, someone is afraid, you know, he's going on the battlefield, he's got a virus. His balance sheet, go back to the balance sheet, is pretty bad. You shouldn't go home. You don't want to go on, you don't want to be on the battlefield because, you know, fate is gonna deal with you now on a battlefield and you don't have such a good record, so go home. And then the Gemara continues, Ikeman Azda. Aha, de Tanya Sach ben Tfilu Tfila, ben Tfil Jel Tfil Shel Rosh, Avei Ribi Azda. Gemara, what example does the Gemara give of a person who shouldn't chance going on the battlefield because he's got a lot of sins? For example, what kind of a sin? He spoke when he put on his tefillin. When one puts on tefillin in the morning, one is not supposed to speak from putting on the tefillin Shel Yad to putting on the tefillin Shel Rosh. You're not supposed to interrupt. But if someone interrupts between the tefillin Shel Yad and the tefillin Shel Rosh, so he's got to make two brachas. You're not supposed to interrupt, right? V'chozer olam yorach en v'chom. Come on, right? V'zorv bir. Lama yesh lo liram v'aver kal shabiyad. I mean, I can think of a lot more severe things that a guy should be worried about than speaking between putting on his tefillin Shel Rosh and his tefillin Shel Yad, that he's going to get killed on the battlefield for that, right? What kind of an example is this, right? Halo zchut kriyat shema shachrit ba'arvit maspitala em liyisrael kamoshan. What about saying shema? They say shema, right? But we're going to come back to this. I have a different approach to this, but let's see what he says. So why all of a sudden this mitzvah of talking between and tefillin, if you just finish telling them shema Yisrael, you have Shema Yisrael, so what are we worried about this? The nitty-gritty of speaking between one tefillin and the other tefillin. So he suggests like this. V'itaken, I want to suggest like this. Shema sheyesh la'averot elu koach la'akev la'mitzachon. Why do these little averas of tefillin, why does this impact on putting us in danger on the battlefield? Who mishum shenichlal behem chisorim beguf kriyatsha? Because you know what? I'll tell you a secret. Tefillin impacts on the mitzvah of saying Shema. V'ha'sha'asaf bein tefillin shel yad v'tefillin shel rosh. If someone speaks between putting on his hand tefillin and his head tefillin, hari hu pogem b'kiyum mitzvah tefillin shel, then he is doing something wrong with his mitzvah of tefillin. And furthermore, ulevishat ha'tefillin hi tanai b'kriyat Shema b'tikuna. Tefillin is a precondition to saying Shema. Because for men, Kimam Ramzal, the rabbis say in Brachos in the Talmud, Kol HaKore Kriyat Shema below tefillin, ki ilu meid edun shecher ba'atzma. If someone says Shema Yisrael without wearing his tefillin, it's as if he's giving false testimony to God. He's saying that God is one, and we put the words of the Torah on our arm and on our head, and he doesn't have the words of the Torah on his arm and on his head. So he's giving false testimony. Shema Yisrael is kind of worthless, right? Pirush Rashi Matzma Me'alya Delomar Mekadosh Baruch Hu. Kein Hasach Bein. Skip down five lines. He says, oh no, don't, you have to skip. But Kein Hasach Bein Yishtabach Liyotzeh. So the rabbi said that after Baruch Hu, one is not allowed to talk, but even from Yishtabach Liyotzeh Or by Baruch Hu there, one shouldn't talk in Shacharis. Right? It's the same idea the Mishnah Berurah points out. It's the same idea. Sharei Tiknu Chazal, it's like talking between putting on the hat tefillin and the head tefillin. Lomar Psuki de Zimra Lachin Birchat Kriyat Shema. One should not talk between Psuki de Zimra, the early chapters of Tehillim, the Kippitza of Tehillim, we say Psuki de Zimra, and the brachas of Kriyat Shema which come after Baruch Hu. One shouldn't talk there. Why? Vim hu mafsik b'nehem, if he does interrupt, hari hu pogin b'kriyat Shema. So he's destroying his Kriyat Shema, right? Why? Whatever, we don't need that. But because the chapters of Psalms, Psuke de Zimra is a preamble to get us in the right mood to say the brachas of Kriyat Shema and Kriyat Shema. They're all tied in together. So that's how he answers the question. I want to answer it a different way. The Avnei Nezer, the Shevi Shmuel's father. And he says like this, what is so big about speaking between putting on the head tefillin and the head tefillin that the rabbis say that's the example they give? You could die on the battlefield because you did that. He says, you know, it's not a minor matter. What does this tefillin shel yad represent? Our commitment to mitzvot ma'asiyot, to action, to performing the service of God, to performing mitzvot, to doing, physically doing the mitzvot. What is the Tfil Shel Rosh? Tfil Shel Rosh is the mindset, is our emunah, emunot v'deyot midot, how we think, the ideals that we put in our head. So there's the spirituality and the actuality, the physicality and the spirituality. One must not interrupt between the actualizing of a mitzvah and the spirit behind the mitzvah. Right? Just putting on the mitzvah, the tefillin, without thinking why I'm putting on tefillin. What is that? What am I doing? I'm just, you know, I'm not really performing a mitzvah. And, you know, like someone once said, I'm a Jew at heart. You know, I don't put on tefillin, I'm a Jew at heart. So somebody once said, the Lubavitcher Rebbe was once quoted as saying, you know, if you put everything on the heart, it's very dangerous. One can have a heart attack, put all your pressure on the heart, it's not healthy, spread it around, right? So that's the pshat, that a Jew at heart, right, is not really, it's very nice, I'm a Jew at heart, right, but I don't do mitzvahs, not good. I do mitzvahs, but you know, I do it by rote, I'm not really, I don't study Torah, I don't learn Torah, I don't understand the reason behind it, I'm not interested, that's also not good, right? You can't make an interruption between the tefillin shel yad and the tefillin shel rosh. So this is a heavy-duty concept. That's why the rabbis gave this. One more thought on light mitzvahs, right, which seem to be light, insignificant mitzvahs, right? We had a few weeks ago, in the parsha of, was it in Re'eh, Nochi Nosen Lifnehem, as a bracha, as a klal, was it in Re'eh? Yeah, and Rashi says, Ekev Tishmo, Vayayim Ekev Tishmo. If you keep the mitzvahs, right? And the Torah used the word ekev, which means a heel. So Rashi says it's talking about those mitzvot shadam dash ba'akevav. The little mitzvahs. You have to do, if you do the little mitzvahs, you get reward. So one of the super commentaries on Rashi, Mizrahi, he asks a question of Rashi. Why does Rashi deviate from the Pashut Pshat of the Pasuk? It's very nice. It says ekev, ekev could mean a heel. But Rashi always comes to give us pshat, the textual understanding, not drush, not homilies. But Rashi is deviating from the simple meaning of the word. The simple meaning of the Pasuk is, if you do my mitzvahs, all of my mitzvahs, I will reward you. Why is Rashi putting emphasis on the small mitzvahs? It's only if you do the little mitzvahs, those seemingly minor mitzvahs, that you'll get reward. The real reward comes. Where does he get that? Where does he get that? So also you have a Mishnah in Pirkei Avot that says, Havi zahir b'mitzvah kala kivachamura. One should be as careful with a minor mitzvah as with a major mitzvah, because we don't know the schar of mitzvahs. So a question you can ask on that Mishnah, if we know which is a major mitzvah, which is, I do the major mitzvahs. Why shouldn't I do the major mitzvahs? Why should I do the minor mitzvahs? If I know that there's major mitzvahs, there's minor mitzvahs, let me do the major mitzvah. Right? What's going on? We need an understanding here about minor mitzvahs and major mitzvahs, and that only God knows the reward. Let me give you an example. If somebody has a relationship with your next door neighbor, you have a relationship with your next door neighbor, and your wife is going into labor, and you don't have a car, so you call up your neighbor and say, "Listen, I need your help." Right? It is your neighbor. You don't really have much to do with it, but I don't know. You know, I don't have a car. My wife is going into labor. Can you drive us to the hospital? Absolutely, I'll meet you downstairs, right? That's a pretty major thing, right? Let's say, go back 6 months earlier. You know, like the show says, 6 months earlier, right? So you go back 6 months earlier, and he's lying in bed, and his wife wakes up in the middle of the night, she's pregnant, 3 months pregnant. Please, I need a pint of ice cream, right? Now, you pick up the phone, would you pick up the phone and call the guy next door and get the pint of ice cream? Hang up the phone on you, right? That's a minor thing, right? But the husband, you need a pint of ice cream, you need a pickle, you know? He'll go down to the 7-Eleven, the 24-6, and he'll get a pint of ice cream and bring it to his wife. Because, why is that? Because the more intense the relationship, the closer the relationship is, the more that the little things matter. If the relationship is not an intimate relationship, it's a relationship with big things. Big things matter, but little things don't matter when it's an intimate relationship, right? So that's what Rashi is saying. That's what the Torah is saying. It's the little things. We want to have a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, an intimate relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That means you want to do the little things for the Kodesh Baruch Hu, not just the major things for the Kodesh Baruch Hu. You want to do the little things for the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's developing a real relationship. That's why Rashi says what he says. And that's in the Mishnah. We don't know. Is it about the schar for mitzvah? Is it about the severity of the mitzvah? Or is it about the relationship, the mitzvah kal? So be zahir with the mitzvah kal as with the mitzvah chamura. Because we don't know how God values these things. Right? There's two things at stake. There's a major mitzvah, emunah, belief in God, kibbut avim, honoring parents. And then there's, you know, that the pint of ice cream. Right? The little mitzvah. The sach ben tefillah on the tefillah, or whatever example you want to give. We don't know. God looks at both things. Severity of the mitzvah, seriousness of the mitzvah, and also he looks at that, the small thing, the relationship that it creates. It's much more of an intimate relationship. Okay. I think we're out of time. Do we have time for one more thing? Let me do the grub, number four on the back. Just do the last piece. The genius of the Vilna Gaon. This week's parsha, you have court testimony, two witnesses. You can have three witnesses. One witness is no good. You have to have a minimum of two witnesses in court. But listen to this. The pasuk says. Maisa b'Rabbeinu, but this is a maisa with the Vilna Gaon. Shenochach b'Beit Hadin b'Vilna, which took place in the court in Vilna. Be'ed sheheidu shnei edim, two witnesses were coming to court. B'tekev shesayimu kora lehem edi shekerim. Now, the villain girl was sitting in the vestibule. And these guys spoke, both of them spoke, each one spoke, and the Vilna Gaon said right away, before there was any discussion, he said they're Eidei Sheker, they're false witnesses, case dismissed, mistrial, right? He declared a mistrial, right? That's it. No commercial, no, the show's over, finish it. Ubir et Rayatolakach, and how did he explain, how did he know? The Mishnah Nemar, and the Mishnah it says, in our oral tradition on this halacha, how do you check the witnesses? Im nimtzu divrayhem mechuvanim, edutan kayem. When you check the witnesses, if it comes out, im nimtzu, that's after an investigation, im nimtzu divrayhem mechuvanim, that their testimony jives, they're both saying the same thing, then, right, that's good, right? So he asks a question on the wording in the Mishnah. Why do the rabbis in the Mishnah have to write im nimtzu divrehem mechuvanim? Dehaya lo lichtov im divrehem mechuvanim. The Mishnah could have simply said im divrehem mechuvanim, if their words are the same, alike. But what's im nimtzu, if you find, if you discover that their words are alike, right? This isn't what he says. That's the pshat. It has to be through discovery, through questions and answers. El lamecha, the teacher, shirak im nimtzu divrei mechuvanim. If you, through discovery, through investigating, through asking and questioning them, mitoch hadrisha v'chakira al divrei, because we do drisha v'chakiru, we ask certain kinds of questions. Right, what color cloak, what color was the car, you know, what make, you know, what was the person wearing, if it's a car, whatever you want to say. Was the light red, was the light green, right? Through asking those questions, you'll come out, you determine. He nimtzu divrei, but he says, az edutan kayemet, then their testimony is good. Aval im bishat hagadatam, but when they get out first and just give their testimony, they both say exactly, they both have the exact same story. Before the question started, each witness says exactly, every little nuance, exactly the same, mamash, right? V'gam lashon hadvarim haya zaha u'meduyak mipishneim. Each one used the same inflection, the same phrase. Obviously, what was going on? They rehearsed this. Yodanu behem she'em zayfanim. He says, that's why he knew right away. Because this is not, the Mishnah says, im nimtzu divrehem mechuvanim. That's good. But not if im divrehem mechuvanim, the first time they opened their mouth, they both said the exact same thing. You know they're false witnesses. This is a game. They set you up, right? That's the Vilna Gaon, right? What goes around comes around. You read mystery stories, you hear, this always happens, right? This is a tell sure, but it's a go. It's a Beferish of Vilna Gaon. Okay, thank you all. Next week, Mirz Hashem, same time, same station. Also, no commercials. Shalom Aleichem, Gevered Feiner.